That's not cool. Mm-hmm. So, okay, it's recording. Hello, today is the 9th of November. I'm here with Edith Nagayak. My name is Chris Gabriel. Today, I don't know, what do you want to talk about today?
Given the short span of time that we have to chitty chat.
What about food?
Okay.
I like the subject of food.
Looks like it.
Doesn't it though? Oh, I just love food. So, have you learned any, like, really good recipes? For
my mom's recipe.
Really?
Yeah, it's good.
Mom's recipe, flour. Yeah. It's been embedded in my mind. You put flour, baking powder, salt, and you don't use any measuring cups, spoons. So you have a bowl of flour, and it depends. If it's big, you use common sense. See how much, because that baking powder can get you gassy if you put too much in there. So it depends on how you want it to rise. And the best way to make this biscuit is through open fire, like a gas heater. And so so that's one of my recipes. I think you have to use common sense. In a bowl of flour, you put baking powder in there and a little bit of salt. Or you don't have to put salt. And then you heat up the oven at a max. Especially if it's an open. I've tried making biscuits in this. It doesn't work on electric. It does not work on electric. I'm sorry. Yeah. You heat it up. You put the pans in there. Heat them up. And then after the pans are nice and hot, you take them out and let the oil. A long time ago, they used Crisco, and that's what I used. And add the water into the flour, baking powder and salt, and you make it for and a little bit of melted Crisco, or from the store there's Crisco oil. So you put it in, you stir it, and they say if you make not so brown, that means you're a jealous person. It used to be that. If they're too white or not toasty brown, whatever, I don't know. And then, and if they're hard, then something's going on. You're tense, you're stressed. I think that was it. So some days my biscuits are hard.
Oh.
So that means I need to take care of myself. Either that, they say you are a hard person.
That's really cool.
That's just Eskimo way of that's just the way they work. And so food. Oh wait, hold on. Pause. Anyway, that's you bake the biscuits in high broil, it has to bake really fast. Mm-hmm. And it rises fast, and then you put it under the fire, under the oven, where it's like broiling, and you stick it in there, and the fire bakes it really fast, and you take it out, and it's really good. It's very good. And so that's my mom's recipe that I acquired. I never, it's not written down. Like I said, it's common sense. The more flour you put, a little bit more baking powder. It's about half a teaspoon or a teaspoon if you have a big bowl, and a pinch of salt. And if you don't like salt, you don't have to put salt in it. And that's my mom's recipe.
Cool. Very cool. Okay. Do you have any other like family treats that you all like to share? Or better yet, if it were such a cold day as it is today, mm-hmm. what would be your drink of choice?
A long time ago, hot tea. There was no choice of like nowadays, cappuccino and whole juice and organic coffee or Camel, so many different kinds of tea. And nowadays, then we only had the choice of Hills Brothers, and that was it. Coffee and Lipton, and that was it.
Wow.
So, the best time to have hot tea is when you go out in the middle of April, when you're out there hunting in Kaktovik and they have a Coleman stove going, in the middle of the winter. April is like early spring and there's still snow. And that's the best time to have hot tea. And when you go up to the mountains and you cook outside in the summer, or in barrel where you cook outside and then you eat outside, that's the best thing of that. We boil caribou outside. I remember being in October with my cousin, and we went out. She took me out picking, berry picking. So we were cooking an open fire, and she just stuck a slab of caribou on the side of the fire. I said, wow, okay. And then she just like, right away she put caribou in the tin foil and threw it in the fire. I said, whoa. That's cool. Instant food. And it cooks by itself, and then you take it out and have the best food. Eskimo food is rare. You know, like when you order steaks in a restaurant, you say rare. That's the kind of caribou steaks we like. Caribou meat. With seal oil and of course we eat them frozen. A long time ago Eskimos were always active and going out and hunting and busy and getting wood and ice, and it was a busy life, and that was good. they kept fit being busy like that, exercising all the time. And they'd get hungry and put cardboard on the floor, get the food out, and they ate frozen food. And that was it. And it's really good, like the delicacies of a caribou stomach with liver in there, and it's frozen, and you put it there with seal oil and whale oil and frozen caribou, and sometimes there's marrow, the bone of the caribou, the legs. They take it out and you crack it open and you have some of that.
I have a rather, which may sound like a strange question, but I don't actually know the answer. Where you are now in Barra, are you folks still like living and thriving on caribou and whale and all of that?
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's not gotten to the point where it's like if you want to eat something, you like drive down to the local Fred Meyer's and pick up some groceries and come back. It's like, is it more like you eat what it is that you hunted throughout the day or what you gathered kind of thing? Or has it become a lot more modernized? Or is it kind of a combination of the two?
Combination of the two. It's good when we have those, the caribou, the frozen caribou, the frozen fish, the seal oil. We still eat those. And we go to the store when we feel like having some ready-to-eat right-away food. Mm-hmm. We have a store there where they have, like, sometimes prime rib with mashed potatoes and gravy, and it's a meal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can do that. But I prefer some more. And you pack food. So, my personal experience is when I eat my Eskimo food, I am more firmer, I'm trimmer. And when I start eating potato chips and hamburgers, no offense, I'm sorry.
No, it's all the stuff you don't really need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when I eat my frozen food and my unsaturated whale oil, seal oil, and then, you know, it makes sense. We were made to eat those foods.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I found out, aha, we were made to eat the frozen food so that it'll balance in our bodies, because we live in a cold place, cold food, and they say if you want to warm up, you go ahead and eat the frozen food, and sure enough, you do. It has something to do, like the Mexicans eat hot food,
mm-hmm.
hot foods,
spicy foods,
spicy yeah. foods, hot, yeah.
I understand. Okay.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I remember reading about like the natural diet of a native Alaskan was like so much different.
All natural.
Yeah, it was all natural. And it was completely different from anything that like,
no.
they have in the lower 48.
And we still do. We still consider fermented walrus a delicacy. It's really good.
Yeah.
Because that's what we grew up in. And fermented fish cocktail, it's really good. So what you grew up eating, it's not to make people sick or squirmy or whatever. That too bad they're that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let them be. We're enjoying our Eskimo food. And we do respect the animals, the land where they came from. We automatically start cleaning, you know, when we see paper or cans or whatever around the tundra, It's very disrespectful. And we see that, so there's hardly any trash or anything at home. We make sure. But in some spots, you know, you wonder, geez, you know. We need to teach our young people that, where, you know, you have to respect the land, keep it clean, keep the beaches clean. It's really clean over there at home, opposed to Louisiana where I used to live, you know, and that's why I got along with the Wisconsin people. They recycle. Mm-hmm. And said, wow, okay, I like that. They respected the land, they kept it clean and recycled, and that's good. So, we still eat our food. And we need to teach our young people what foods. Only the ones that I know you're not supposed to eat was horrible liver, it's lethal. It could kill you. Hmm. And in my generation, they never ate wolverine or wolf. You know, but maybe centuries and centuries and centuries ago they did, you know, when they were starving. And never eat anything that you don't know it might have been affected, or most of the foods that we ferment or whatever are not supposed to be out in the sun. You keep them in a cool place. And consult with an elder first before you start fermenting, you know, walrus or fermenting fish, any type of Eskimo food, Inupiaq food, consult with somebody who knows. And never leave foods in plastic. That's dangerous. That we were brought up with gunny sacks. We kept the walrus, fermented walrus in gunny sacks. So,
Do you know anything about the process of how to ferment walrus meat?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know anything even about how to ferment anything. Mm. I'm just most curious as to how you would do that.
When you catch a walrus, you have these slabs of walrus already with no meat on it. And then you just like, there's a slab like this, a rectangular slab. You put holes on the sides, and then you wrap, you get heavy rope or whatever rope that can keep it together. You like sew it together, but with the ropes. It's like sewing, you know, put it together. And then you put it in a gunny sack and leave it out, away from the sun, and that's, put it in a container if you want to. But that was a way that they took duck. That's what they call it. That's a way to ferment. But I do remember our mom using a bucket, a plastic big 5-gallon bucket, and cutting the walrus, cutting them in little pieces and putting them in there, and they still ferment inside the house. So there's that modern way of doing things like that. And so you have to be stirring it, so otherwise the top will get hard, you know. So just taking really good care of it and It's really good. It relaxes you. The greener it is, the better it is. But there's if it's been there too long, then it's time to get rid of it. The dogs or the seagulls can eat it. That's another thing we do, is we recycle. We know where to put food, and the animals can eat the food.
Cool.
Fermented fish.
Fermented.
I grew up in that. Oh God, it's really good. You leave it intact like that.
What kind of fish?
Kata. And I think you can. I've eaten anaklek too. This one is Arctic cisco, and anaklek is there's a name for it. Wait. Anaklek is white fish, and of course Arctic cisco is kaptak. It's really good eating, especially frozen. It's really good. It's very good. You don't even need seal oil or whale oil to enjoy it. It just has a lot of that fish oil in it, kaptak. And anaklek, white fish, it's one of those things that I'm not allergic to. It seems like some people are like, they get gassy. Mm. I do. I get gassy when I have some certain fish, like tuna or salmon. That's just me. But when I do eat anaklek and kaptak, it doesn't affect me at all. Has to do with the fish oil. So that's, or the way we ferment the fish is we put it like in a camping area, in a camping setting. My mom used to put it where it's cool and the sun is not shining on it. And you wait about a week or so, and then it ferments. It's really good.
It's only about a week.
Something like that, yeah.
Cool. I didn't know it was so cool.
When it's warm. But I think you can do it also inside the house, but you have to keep it. It doesn't work so well inside the house. But outside it does. In gunny sack. I've seen a whole bunch of fish in gunny sacks. They're really good.
Cool. What else?
Snacks?
Do you guys have like Inupiaq traditional snacks?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh. Caribou. Those little things they call. From the caribou skin.
Mm-hmm.
After the caribou is skinned and everything, there's these little round things on the caribou skin, and then you eat those.
That's cool.
And what did we munch on? Kulex. We would be walking outside, taking a walk, and kids, you know, running around that tender, and you find these little green. They're like four-leaf clovers, but they're not. We call them kulaks. And these long red stemmy things, you take the red stuff out from the top and then you eat that. It's really good at kulak. And of course, the delicacy is the Eskimo ice cream. It's made out of caribou fat. You whip it.
And you like by hand. Berries and stuff like that. And
around Bethel area, they do that. But at home, the original way is that you melt the caribou fat and make the caribou meat really thin. Grind it. You need a grinder. But I'm pretty sure a long time ago, before they had grinders there, they beat the meat so that it got small. And so, well, you break it up with your hands like meat. It can't have muscle or fat on it, that the meat that we're going to be using for the Eskimo ice cream. And you whip it with your hand until it gets fluffy, and you sprinkle meat a little at a time, and you whip it. You keep whipping, 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 and it gets white. And you whip it, and you whip it, and then you add a little bit of... I've seen mom do it. It's really good, and I just had some last week, and Elizabeth had made some. It's really good.
Cool.
So, I'm trying to think of mama. I remember when I was growing up, little babies, they would put some kind of meat or something on a safety pin so they could just suck on the meat. That's how we grew up. So they let them eat it. Put a safety pin on it so that they won't choke on it. And, that's something that's gone. I've never seen any mother that does that to the child. So, snap.
That's very cool. I'm curious to try that caribou one that you talked about. Popcorn sounding thing, the caribou.
On the skin?
Yeah. That sounds really good.
Kumak. They call them kumak.
Kumak.
Caribou, they grow on that caribou skin, and when the caribou skin is, you know, round things, and you eat them. You eat those. I remember eating some. And patek, of course, the caribou marrow. You have some. That's a treat. And the whale, white mamak, we call it mamak. It comes from in between the, where you spit off the baleen. You spit off baleen, and that's that white stuff, and you slice it off and you cut it up. It's really good. That's another treat. I grew up eating these crackers, Sailor Boy crackers. Yeah, the round ones.
Okay.
There's a story. The first, the people, the Eskimos, when the white man first came here, they didn't know what they were, so they played with them like frisbee. And the flour, they didn't know about flour, so they took the flour out of the bag. They used to have cloth bags, the flour, long time ago flour used to have cloth bags. They were in cloth. They used those cloth to make snowshoes.
Huh.
Or bloomers.
That's so funny. Yeah. They would just empty the flour out of the bag.
Yeah, they didn't know any better. They didn't know. So. So I grew up with Sailor Boy crackers, and the other day I was sharing, I grew up in grade school where they fed us crackers with peanut butter or honey on top of it with pineapple juice or orange juice. And I have to get some pineapple juice. And I have some peanut butter. And some days they give us some raisins for treats. And we put the raisins on top of the crackers with peanut butter. It's really good. And also crackers with honey on top. Well, it's good like that. Or you could put the raisins on top too. That's good. That was a great school. Well, they sort of like a breakfast for us. Mm-hmm. I remember I was probably 2 years old, 1 year old. I was already walking, 2 years old. I always remember, it's a beautiful memory, Mom sitting, laying on the bed, and she's having her coffee, and she's having biscuits. And she dips it in the coffee, and so that it won't be hot or too hot for me, she would blow on it and let me have some. Biscuits.
Now, are these the same biscuits that you just gave me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
And I never drank coffee until I was like 24. They used to say, don't drink too much coffee, you're going to get shaky. Where did they get that information? Our grandfather was probably talking to a doctor or something. He was a medical person. Grandfather, Andrew Akuchu, the chief of the village, the leader. that's where we get some, we're meticulous, yeah, I am. I picked it up from our grandfather. I like to look nice, sure, why not?
Mm-hmm.
We picked it up from our grandfather, Andrew. The first time that we were ever introduced to something sweet was from this sailor man that came to our house, and he gave us bubblegum.
Mm.
So we started calling him bubblegum. I don't know his real name. We just call him bubblegum. Bubblegum! He used to give us bubblegum. Oh, that was the first introduction to sugar. And then I remember trying a big bottle of 7-Up. It was so good. Our dad got a hold of one, I don't know, maybe through the army guys.
Mm-hmm.
They set up camp in the 40s, in the 1940s, yeah. And I remember a big, I don't know, maybe because I was small, it looked like a big bucket of blueberries.
Hmm.
I don't know how in the world they got that from. I remember. These are some beautiful memories that I'm sharing. So I never drank coffee because they used to talk about, don't drink too much coffee, you're going to get shaky. And people do that. I remember Merle, my ex-husband's father, Alvin Ashola, you could tell they're like involuntarily shaking their hand.
Mm-hmm.
Too much caffeine. I remember him having coffee, really strong, very strong coffee. And it does affect you, you get shaky.
Yeah, I'm not
caffeine.
Particularly big.
That's good.
Yeah.
Don't start.
No.
Yes. And then when we moved to Barrow, the North Star ship would come with apples and oranges and the whole town would smell of apples.
Mm.
And oranges because it was so clean. No smog, no cars, no nothing. just imagine, just, oh man, the town used to smell of oranges and apples.
That would be cool.
Oh yeah. And we would run down to the beach when the North Star came. Because we knew this guy named Mohora. He used to bring candy. A whole bunch of candy and give it out to kids. Mohora. I remember getting three little pieces of candy for 5 cents. Three for 5 cents. Yeah, and Sugar Daddy was like me for 5 cents. Yeah, those were the days. Nowadays they're like, what, 89 cents?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And Coke was really scarce.
Coca-Cola?
Coke, yeah. Cans, in cans. I remember old people used to have those kind on the bottom of their bed.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go visit them, they would give you a can. That was a treat.
Cool. That's so cool.
Yeah. There was hardly any pop then. So that's... I haven't shared that. This is the first time I think I've shared it with somebody. And I'm so glad you thought about talking about food. And before we leave, before you leave, during the Eskimo dance in Kaktorika, I think that was a way for them to encourage us to go out there and dance, Eskimo dance. I don't know who it was. They would leave a little bowl, or not a bowl, but leave candy on the floor with paper on the bottom. Leave candy on the floor. So after you dance, after you Eskimo dance, you just go there and pick up a can.
Hmm.
That was an incentive for us to probably learn our Eskimo dances.
That's interesting.
And I did that so many years later. I was like, how old was I? 55? And right away my sister Marian go down there, and my brother Rua, I think it was, go down there automatically, go get candy.
And they were how old by that time?
I remembered it, so I did it out of just memory, and whoever knew about it really went down there right away. You know, whoever grew up like that, getting candy. After you dance, you're supposed to just go get candy. One candy. Oh, that was so fun.
Cool.
Good. The end.
The end.